Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And welcome to Between the Covers with Rowan Grinstead from Eastern Regional Libraries, joining us with Greg Carrick. Stay with us as we explore books, review Canopy movies, and talk about all the great events running at your local libraries.
When I look into my book,
to work. Have you got
yes, indeed. Rowan, so champing at the bit to get stuck into it. It's 3:07. Rowan Grinstead from Eastern Regional Libraries is my guest here in the studio. The program is Between the Covers. It's all about books, videos and events at your local library.
Hello, and thank you for having me back. I'm here, yes, I'm champing at the bit, but not a lot to tell.
And things are winding down at the end of the year.
Things are winding down in library land, and we've had some amazing, so I thought I might do treat this as a year in review.
A retrospective.
Yes, we'll do a retrospective of the last couple of events, and books, and the most popular books this year, most read books, most read DVDs, Australian books, and national international books as well, and of course are your favourite Canopy, so
absolutely
that's what we shall do for the end of 2019.
Now, you had a big Halloween event on since last time you were
we did. That was so exciting. We had a fabulous, it was our second year in a row at
in Hillsville.
Yes, and we partner with Arts Culture and with the Traders.
Yep.
And the Traders sponsor the kids to trick or treat up the road and down the road. And last year was our first year, and this year was our second year, and we had 350 participants in this year. They came in the most amazing costumes I'd ever seen. Yep. Parents as well. So kudos to those parents who get so engaged too. It was really lovely to see. And of course, more of our traders were involved this year. Yep. So it was a really colourful sight to see all these ghouls and witches and wizards and all sorts of ghosts. And I don't know. There were some gross, gross costumes marching up and down Hillsville Street.
I did trip up and down the main drag before Halloween. And so, yeah, quite a few of the shops were getting ready for it.
Yes, because they all sponsor it now. Mm. So they come to the library first, and this year's theme was Hocus Pocus. Mm. And we trialled this, I have to give him a plug. His name's Chris Miller. He's a local boy. He's from Yarra Junction. He started his own magic show. I think it's called The Dreaming, but he's Chris. I just know him as Chris. Mm. And he put on a Hocus Pocus magic show that was, as I said, it's something to, you would go to the Crown Casino to see.
Yep.
The pizzazz, the flames, the bubbles, the boiling, brothing frogs, toads, legs, and you name it, it was happening. And the fireballs, it was quite an incredible show.
Quite good of him to put on for a big community event like that.
Yeah, it was amazing. But that's his, I'm going to be grabbing him for lots of other things too. Mm. But if you're looking for one, I'm sure you can find his name, Chris Miller from Yarra Junction. And then the kids, we had some witches' tales.
Yep.
We had a local author, Kerry Mitchell, who she writes her own little poetry book of witches' tales, and she came and read those. We had a local artist, Sabina, come and host a cartoon drawing workshop.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then they took their trick-or-treat bags up the road to the traders and then back down to the Mimo Hall where they showed the Hocus Pocus
movie. Oh, yeah, they had the film on there.
It did, and it worked really, really well. We had a really successful. So obviously it's growing in patronage. So get ready for next year. You can start making your costumes for next year.
Obviously, the word must have got out because so many people turned up.
Oh,
so
my goodness me. A lot of Lilydale families travelled up the mountain this time as well. They weren't missing out.
Yeah.
They don't. We don't have the same thing because the library's not tucked into this magnificent street of trade. It's just a gorgeous street, the Hillsville Main Street for trick or treat. It's just a lovely.
Everything's there in walking distance.
Yeah, and it's got that village feel and everyone knows everything. Mm. It's a beautiful, beautiful little town, Hillsville. So it's a good plug for the Hillsville Main Street if you've got nothing else to do in the holidays coming up. Yes, so that was that.
Yep.
Then we had something very exciting on Saturday, and I'm sure a lot were out there came at the Hillsville Library again as part of the Chow Yarra Valley Chow Festival that's going along across Yarra Valley everywhere at the moment, which I have to say this year has been magnificent. Last year it started and it was a bit of a, well, what happened?
Smaller
did anybody
event,
see anything? and, but this year, we offered to Chow Yarra Valley, which is actually hosted by Yarra Valley Tourism.
Yep.
They last year they put some international Italian chefs in some of the restaurants, and they didn't get a big turnout for them. So we actually, unbeknown to them, we have a beautiful kitchen inside the Healesville Library, an industrial kitchen, for them to host their Italian chefs in our library at Healesville. And my goodness, we had the Toby Italiano brothers and doing their Italian, and they also sing. I don't know if you knew they sing. So we had the singing, cooking Italian
brothers.
Don't all
Italian chefs sing?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. So we had 95 booked in, but far more turned up. And it was an incredible day. And the market fair of Italian food all around the front of the library and across the memo and down the little alleyway across to the main street was amazing, absolutely amazing. And at one stage, they had the whole audience singing along with them.
It one was meatball.
Just brilliant. Yes, it was. It was absolutely brilliant. If you check out Eastern Regional Library's Instagram page, we have uploaded a video of them all singing and cooking along with our lovely Italian chefs. So we're hoping they'll be back with us next year. They are both on, not MasterChef, the opposition cooking in the kitchen, Kitchen Cooks or something they're called. They are on that this year. But we'll have them back in the Yarra Valley again for next year.
Excellent.
If you missed out this year, you can join us again next year.
I did miss out this year, but I did go last year and saw the, is it Tarantello dancing?
Yes.
That was fantastic.
That was fantastic, yes. Mm. That was on as well. This time they put the whole festival closer down.
Yep.
So you could pop into the library, pop into Memo Hall, pop into the market space. Yep. There was something going on. Last time it was too spread. It was spread all over the place at different vineyards and different, and it just it didn't bring a festivity.
Didn't gel.
No, it didn't. But this year's, it really did. So that was great.
And they had the cars too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Did you go to that?
I did last year, the time trial. And I'd never been to one before, and I went to photograph it, and I thought, great, going to be cars doing some action. A time trial is you have to do the course in a certain time, which means you can't go fast. They were going slow as. A very technical time trial thing.
Oh, dear. So no nice cars you could photograph?
Beautiful cars. E-types and MGAs and lots of Alphas, of course, because it's the Italian festival.
Of course. What else would you have? Yeah. And what about all these Italian motorbike riders? They were all down my way for the...
Were they?
Because the Grand Prix just finished and the Italians won it again.
Motor Guzzies. And,
they do. They win it all the time now. So that was the last review of what we'd been doing. We have got some just for the storytelling families that join along at our Lilydale and Healesville Library. The wonderful Thor, who came to our Halloween party, will be visiting us with his Santa friend.
Okay.
And, at the Healesville.
Thor and Santa get along, do they?
Yes, they do. he will be coming to Healesville Library to visit the kids on Tuesday the 26th of December and Friday the 29th of December at Lilydale. There will be Christmas parties for families on both those days if you want to pop in with the kids.
It sort of makes sense that Thor and Santa are the same person.
It does.
Because they both live up there in the cold. And they both sort of, live forever.
One gets around with a sack and the other with a hammer.
Yeah, that's right. For the bad boys.
So that'll be happening. But there's other than that, because we're winding down. So that's all we've just sort of reviewed with you what's happened in the last month.
Excellent stuff. Lots of great things. So keep your eye also on yourlibrary.com.au. All the information and news is there.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
So there you go, the Sunny Boys, great old Australian band. They're back with some new stuff.
I do like your choice of music, though. You keep us well up with the Australian stuff that's coming out.
Yep. Well, you did land smack in the middle of my Oz Indie show. See?
Oh, that's why.
So that's why I've got all this Australian music.
What's his name? Roach.
Archie Roach.
Roach's new song with Paul Kelly.
Rally Around the
Drum. That was wonderful. Yeah, I did enjoy that indeed. Okay, what are we up to?
Well, this is the end of the year, so lots of people put out their list of favourite books or best
we do.
Selling books and all that sort of
we
stuff.
We do. So readings actually collates all the information from right around, and we, like libraries, put in what has been the most popular reads, most borrowed books, and they collate everything all together from right around, and they put out this fantastic review as a year in review for 2019.
So, first up, bit of Australian fiction. A group. Stuck in the music world here. A book called The White Girl. It's written by Tony Birch. And he's got a historian's eye for details, so he picks up all sorts of details that you might not otherwise know. Tells the story of the Stolen Generations through unforgettable characters such as Odette Brown and her granddaughter Sissy. So that's The White Girl. You can get that from the library. Also, This Taste for Silence. It's a collection of short stories by Amanda O'Callaghan. And ranges different scenarios, but she writes to sort of engage with your sense of emotion and psychological feelings and give you a bit of that, put you just on the edge of your seat slightly with these short stories. So that's This Taste for Silence. That's a good one. And also, to get a bit of a lighter note, a bit of satire about Tasmanian politics. Yeah. A book called Bruni, B-R-U-N-Y.
This has been very popular in the libraries.
By Heather Rose. So if you like to laugh at politicians, and who doesn't get Bruni, that's well worth getting. Also, even lighter again, The Weekend by Charlotte Wood. This is very good. It's one of those feel-good, slow-moving stories about... three women in their 70s meeting at a beachside house to clear it out of stuff from their late friend, their friend who passed away. So it goes through their sort of long-term female friendships and all the things that come up. So that's The Weekend by Charlotte Wood.
Beautiful. And so they were all Australian books and Australian authors.
Yes, all Australian authors.
I've just got here the best picks that were international. These were the most popular internationally. As I said, Readings does a lot of research to put this out. I'm just picking a couple of them that really caught my eye. One is The Eighth Life. And this was written by Nina... I can't say it. It's Nina Haratichistavili, translated by Ruth Martin and Carlette Collins. It's an epic in every sense. This 900-plus page novel is a multi-generational, sprawling narrative that takes readers on an immersive journey through the histories of Georgia and Russia across the 20th century. Surprisingly addictive and incredibly readable, this all-consuming book is a reminder of the fulfillment to be found in the act of reading. It is, look, it's one of those things I brought in today with me as well. One that I've just finished, and I'm just going to
check. It's huge, like a telephone book.
I know, and I thought I'd just check. Hang on a minute, how many pages did this one have? Oh, not quite 900. 864.
Wow.
And The Goldfinch. I needed to talk about it.
Yeah.
I finally finished it by Donna Tartt. It is the winner of the Pulitzer Prize for 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you need it. This is what I would suggest for summer reading.
Yep.
You need to not be at work. Mm. You need, because every time I had to put it down and go to work, and then I couldn't get back to it because work interrupted my secret life, and that's reading. Mm. It's a great summer read because it's a big book, and if you've got a few couple of weeks holidays, you'll get through it if you can just never have to put it down. So it's a perfect read for the summer read, The Goldfinch. The movie is out at the moment with Nicole Kidman. I would say the movie could not possibly be any good because it's a two-hour movie, and this novel is an epic.
Yeah.
And unless they were going to make it into a miniseries, there is no way you could pack what's in this book into a two-hour movie.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to say that the movie, I will go and see it on the summer holidays, but I'm going to say the movie is going to disappoint me after reading the book. But I'll just read you the back.
Yep.
Aged 13, Theo Decker, son of a devoted mother and an absent father, miraculously survives a catastrophe. The otherwise tears their lives apart. Alone and rudderless in New York, he is taken in by the family of a very, very wealthy friend. There is tormented by a longing for a mother, and down the years he clings to the things, the most things that are loved around him, that was also loved by his mother. And his mother was an artist.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she always loved doing with him was going to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
The Goldfinch is a painting. And this is a captivating painting that ultimately draws him into the criminal and underworld. So I think I can tell you something without giving it away.
Yeah.
So the mother, they live in New York, and the mother works in the art world and media and marketing, and the museum and art world is big in their life. They're not rich. Father has absconded them, but she's a working mother. And she's on his way to a school appointment with the school principal because he's been misbehaving with his very naughty friend. And on the way, she said, listen, on our way, before we have to listen to the patronisation I'm going to receive from your school principal, yep. I'd like to call into the museum. And in the museum, there's an attack of terrorism, and the museum is blown up, and the mother dies, and he survives it. But he survives it looking after a Jewish art collector,
yep.
who has his hands around a piece of artwork that he asks him to take and keep safe. And that painting takes him into...
The Goldfinch.
Yes, and it goes across his whole life. So it's him as a young boy at 13 when he's first interrupted in his life. Then again, he's wrenched out of this beautiful art wealthy family that bring him up because his father had absconded and left him. But suddenly the father reappears, takes him off to live where he lives in Las Vegas in the desert. There is another chapter of his life. And then again... something tragic happens in that, and he's brought back as a older man to New York again. So it's three different chapters, and that's why I thought you cannot put this movie to two. But it is brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. So I cannot talk about it enough. That's The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. So if you want an epic novel to read, that's my recommended.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how these really big novels, they try to dramatise them for... either movie or TV, and they cut 90% out of it.
It is. It's sad, isn't it? And then they'll go and make a mini series out of one that was, you know, could have been set in half an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
I also brought along with me today.
Yep.
I thought I'd share with you my summer reading that I've chosen because they're two of my favourite authors that you're probably not popular. One is Roma Tiern. She's a Tamil author.
Yeah.
Some of you may have read Mosquito, which was an amazing book. Mosquito was her first book she wrote. She is a Tamil refugee that has lived in England for a long time now, and she's attended Oxford, and she's a very famous writer there now. And she's written through the years of turmoil in Sri Lanka, as you know, that's where I come from. I'm not Tamil. I'm actually the ones that they bombed. And, but the writings that always come out of war-torn areas, and the artists and the songs and the music, well, she's a gift. I haven't read this one. I hear it's not as good as her first two, but I just loved her writing style, so I'm going to give it a go. It's called The White City by Roma Tiern, but I think you'll find the subject interesting. Yep. So I'll read you the subject. I'm getting the small print is so bad on the back of books. Hera has known great loss over decades of an endless winter. The first snows coincided with the arrest of her brother on the charges of terrorism, and since then she has witnessed the total collapse of normal life in a deserted London. Her only sort of comfort through it all has been her relationship with Raphael. Now, as the thaw begins, can she track down her elusive lover? So she's touching on the concept that we're moving into a big freeze era, and they say that in London this is already happening. So she's touching on that subject, and she's touching on the subject of terrorism and what London's going to be like during the big freeze. And I'm amazed that she thinks that it's going to thaw in our lifetime. I don't think it will. So I thought that would be a very interesting topic too. Especially if anybody here has been starting to watch Years and Years on SBS.
No, I was watching The Name of the Rose.
Okay.
But, yeah, not Years and Years yet.
Years and Years has just come out, and I think only the first two have come out. It's starring Emma Thomas, and it's London in 2022.
Yeah.
And Brexit still hasn't happened.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. Brexit's still going on. And 500,000 Syrian refugees have landed on London.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere to put them. So they're putting up big metal containers to house everybody, and it's London in 2022. And I think it's interesting how she writes too. So it's obviously in the world at the moment, watching them. What's happening in London is affecting the world.
Mm.
So that's my recommended read there.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, I mentioned the name of the rose. It was on SBS. You can still catch it on demand or whatever.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
All those Liberian monks.
Yes.
Hiding the knowledge, the truth. Locking it up.
I remember the original movie with Sean Connery.
I haven't. Yeah. I've got to watch it. So I'm going to make it a summer thing to do. Yeah. I
read the book. Fell in love with the book.
Wow.
Umberto Eco.
Okay.
It was absolutely amazing. Then the little short 2-hour movie came out, and I thought that was really good. But when the whole thing came out on SBS,
is it worth watching?
So extended, yeah.
It is. Very okay. Good. I have to watch it. Okay. Mm. I will definitely have to see what they... And so do
just
you...
Just remind you that you don't have to go to America for good films. These are all actors I've never heard of before, and they were just brilliant.
Yeah, I know. And are they English or Italian, or are they...
There were a few English involved, but on the whole, it was all done in Europe. Yeah. European directors and actors and
that's what you love about
everything,
SBS, isn't it? It's not American movies.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you just can't beat the European and the English movies. You just can't beat them. They're brilliant.
Mm.
Oh, well, that's something I'm definitely going to... And did they unlock the truth? Did they tell you the truth?
Well, you'll be very sad at the end because... The library burns.
Oh, no! With the librarians in it. Oh, wow. Okay. Very interesting. The other one is an Australian author. She doesn't put a lot of books out.
Mm.
Carmel Bird. A lot of people knew her because
very well-known name.
Mm. Yeah, well-known name. Because I'm pretty sure she was the VCE English and Literature teacher at the Victorian College of the Arts for many of the years.
Yep.
And that is why a lot of people do know her. She's put out a couple of really, really good books that I've read.
She was big in the media too, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Mm. So what do we say? Winner of the Patrick White Literacy Award and 3 times shortlisted for the Miles Franklin Award. Carmel Bird is the author of 11 novels. I think I've read about 3. And 8 collections of short fiction. She grew up in Tasmania and has a wide reputation as a storyteller.
Mm.
Yeah, she's brilliant. And look, isn't the cover just magnificent? Her new one, Field of Poppies. And she's going to win awards for this again. I can absolutely. So I'll just read you very quickly. An Absolute Fate of Wit and Wisdom. This novel resonates with a long list of contemporary problems. It does so by using humour, not anger. All the author's trademark stands out. So this is about Karen, keen to escape the pressures of city life. Marcella Swift with her husband William are drawn to Listowel, a glorious historic mansion in the seemingly tranquil small town of Muckleton. There is time to read, garden, decorate, play chess, and befriend the locals. Yet one night, Listowel is robbed, and soon after, a neighbour is murdered. The violent history of the couple's adopted Goldfields town is revealed as plans for the new gold mine emerge.
Ew.
There you go. My 2 recommended summer reading.
The small town erupts.
Yes.
Excellent. The Poppy Fields by Carmel Bird.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
22 minutes to 4. This is Between the Covers with Roanne Grinstead from Eastern Regional Libraries. And just a reminder, anything you want to find out about, you go to yourlibrary.com.au. Now, best DVDs. We've gone through the best books briefly of 2019.
Briefly, yep.
The best DVDs. I've got a few here from the large list. The first one is by Craig Mazin. It's called Chernobyl. It's put out by HBO.
Oh, yes. Now, one of the ladies at work is watching this. It goes for quite a while. This is really exciting.
Yeah. It's about the power plant disaster, of course. A bit of a time capsule of what happened and a warning for the future. And the DVD centres on a guy called Jared Harris. He's brilliant as an actor. He plays Valery Legasov, the chief scientist leading the cleanup of Chernobyl. So that one's probably worth watching. Even just judging by the cover, it looks cinematically magnificent.
We were just saying, though, weren't we, that the tone for movies and books at the moment is all doom and gloom and end of the world and henny penny and the world is falling in on top of us. Yes, it's not very nice.
So if you don't want to go there, you can always... Who watched the series on television, Deadwood?
Oh, yes, some I know you would. Yeah.
Well, the movie. This is the movie, DVD, directed by Daniel Meehan. So... The basic premise, 1899 in Deadwood, past and present residents reunite to celebrate South Dakota's entry into the Union. And because all these old people come back together again, old grievances resurface. So it's just as violent and over the top as the television series, this movie. And it's set 13 years after the original series. So Deadwood... the movie you can get on DVD. And lastly, for the kids or those young among us, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I love Spider-Man.
Like Spidey, do you? Yeah. Yeah, Spidey senses are tingling.
So that was the most popular DVD, was it? It was Spider-Man.
Oh. Yeah, it's a winner of the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature Film.
Good Christmas present to put in the Christmas stocking, I think.
There you go. It's all about his start, the Brooklyn teen bitten by the mythical radioactive spider. But he's just one of multiple spider heroes. So he meets, you know, various other versions of Spider-Man, I suppose, and Spider-Girl or whatever. Is an animation. Great fun. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I've got here the most popular biography for 1919, for a year in review, was The Year of the Monkey by Patti Smith. We all know Patti Smith,
yep.
Musician, songwriter and poet and author now. Patti Smith is one of the true artists of our ages, and Year of the Monkey is an account of a difficult year written as a reflection of mortality, loss and not coping with aging against the backdrop of 2016's political turmoil. The narrative moves between everyday experiences, memory and dreams. This is Patti Smith at her poetic finest. And the other one, which I was saying, isn't it funny that they write them so young, is Penny Wong's Passion and Principle by Margaret Simmons. I'm thinking, too young to have your biography read. I'm sure you've got a lot more to do. Margaret Simmons is one of Australia's most respected journalists, and here she tells the life and story Australia's most one of most Australia's respected politicians, as we were saying, are politicians respected at all?
Well, of that lot, she's one of the most respected.
Nah. Would have done better to choose her.
So, Penny Wong, a biography. All available at your library. This is Between the Covers with Rowan Grinstead from Eastern Regional Libraries, one of my favourite shows every month.
Thank you, Greg. Well, I think I've spoken enough for you today, Greg. I have done books to read for summer, my past reviews. I've covered everything. I think it's time now that you covered movies.
Canopy, for those who don't know, starts with a K and is the library's own sort of Netflix thingy where you can watch movies and documentaries and all sorts of things for free because you're already a member of the library.
All for free. And we were just talking about at summertime. It's a lovely... I live somewhere where I'm not close to a movie cinema. Yep. It's not easy to get to. And not everyone can afford live streaming. Mm. Here's Canopy that's free with your library membership. And its choice of movies and documentaries
is huge.
Massive. Yep. And it's a wonderful alternative, especially over the summer. And if you are like me and not living anywhere near anything, this is a must-have.
Mm. Like you're used to going in the library and seeing thousands of books around for your choice. Well, the Canopy's like that with movies. It's just stunning.
Yes, genres is incredible amount of genres it's got.
So I watched a few of them on Canopy. And the first one we'll talk about is called Tattoo Nation, and it's about the changing societal sort of viewpoint of tattoos in America from being the sort of lower class sailors and outlaw bikies sort of thing through to becoming more and more socially acceptable and more people having them. And it follows some of the key people who ran some successful tattoo parlors through that period. So some of them are still going, some have passed away. As you'll find out in the sort of documentary here. It's called Tattoo Nation.
That's really probably only just hit Australia now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the young ones now, it's male, female, it's very common now.
Tell you a story. Years ago I was working at a big print factory And we had our Christmas break up, and 40 people turned up to a restaurant, and we took two tables of 20 people each. And the stunning thing was, one table, 20 people, none of them had tats. The other table, 20 people, every single one of them had tattoos.
Oh, so tattoos.
It was amazing.
So they hang around in a tribe together.
Yeah, without knowing it.
That shows the tribalness.
We're drawn to each other. So Tattoo Nation, very interesting sort of documentary there.
Yeah, very interesting.
And then I came across a sort of short movie. It's sort of a feel-good sort of thing. It's called Helium, and it's basically a story about a sick young boy named Alfred, and he lives in this sort of fantasy world of balloons and zeppelins and things. And the hospital janitor there, called Enzo, sort of catches onto this and tells him stories every night as he slowly gets sicker and sicker. And I won't tell you the end, but it has a slight twist at the end, which is very good. So that's Helium. It's only a short one, 22 minutes.
I did watch one on Canopy, I do lie.
Yeah.
I did watch Daniel Radcliffe, you know, Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe acting as an adult in jungle. And he has to survive in the jungle. And it was interesting to watch him as a... an adult, and it was interesting, he played the part of a very weak adult, I thought it sort of suited him.
Well, you'll probably like the other film of his on Canopy that I saw, where he plays a corpse.
Oh. Mustn't be having a lot of scripts to choose from.
But anyway, I didn't watch that. The third one I watched was just absolutely fantastic, and I recommend to anyone. It's called Beltracchi, and it's called The Art of Forgery. And it's about a guy, that's his name, Beltracchi, who is an amazing painter, very sort of gifted. He can paint in all sorts of styles, and he ends up sort of by chance and accident painting forgeries of incredibly well-known artists, big names, and ending up selling them and conning all the art galleries and art people around the world. If you follow the art world at all, you'll recognise his name, because it was a huge case. He ended up going to jail in the end.
Oh, I'd like to watch this. What was it called?
Beltracchi. It's BELTRACCHI. And The Art of Forgery, it goes for an hour and 41 minutes, and it is it could have gone longer. It is fantastic. He is a very unassuming sort of lovely guy. I'd love to meet him. He'd be a good bloke to know, I think. Very nice to get along with. But he just sort of drifts into this world of forgery.
Well, it's interesting
and
that you said that, because The Goldfinch, as I was talking about for your summer read, the epic with Donatato, and The Goldfinch, as I said, was a painting.
Mm.
That is the world that this young boy gets drifted into, is the world of art forgery, and how museum galleries, what you thought was such a priceless piece, and the whole criminal world behind how they transfer it and steal it out of one museum, and then they have to get it out of the country, because they won't sell it in the country they've just stolen it in, and you know, they'll sell it over in Europe or Italy or Venice or somewhere else that will turn up. And it's a whole criminal world. It's huge. Very, very interesting. And The Goldfinch, it's basically what that is about.
I mean, that's the sort of thing you expect with forgeries, a whole sort of crime underworld behind it, whereas this guy, he just did it on his own. with no connections to the crime scene at all, but he just was such a great painter, and still is. I think he's still alive. So that's Beltracchi. I absolutely recommend you check that out.
Definitely on Canopy. Be watching that one. Well, that's about it. We've covered everything from movies, songs, DVDs. You covered some lovely Australian songs and Australian authors, best authors for the year, and best movies for the year. And so I'm going to say Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes.
I'm off on holidays.
I won't be back in January.
I won't be back till January. You can catch up. There's not a lot happening over the library. But from January the 14th, our summer program will be alive.
Yep.
And the library will be open right throughout the period. Yep. Don't think there won't be any more books in the library. They will be.
They've all gone on holiday.
There won't be any exciting programs, though, till about the 14th of January. Yep. I will be back here on the 15th of January to talk about the summer program. So enjoy the summer reading. I've left you all to read, and you've given the movies to watch, and we'll be back on the 15th of January to fill you in on the upcoming summer programs.
So there you go, folks. The library is there for you all during the summer break and the holidays. Go to your local library. Also, check out their website, yourlibrary.com.au. Find out what's coming up and keep on top of things. And because you've got a library card, download the Canopy app. Starts with a K. And you can end up watching lots and lots of DVDs and movies as well as reading books.
It is. It's the library's Netflix.
So your life is gone, basically.
That's it. It's gone. I'm out of here. Back to the beach for 6 weeks.
Thank you very much, Rowan. Rowan Grinstead, back third Wednesday in January.